We're talking about the real estate side of private credit with Corey Johnson, Chief Executive Officer at Pender Capital. Welcome to The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, which is a unique industry organization representing all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, The Navigator will point you in the right direction. And today, we're looking in the direction of the private credit landscape in one of the most interesting and talked about sectors of the investment world, commercial real estate. And we're doing it with Corey Johnson. He's the Chief Executive Officer at Pender Capital, which runs the Pender Capital Real Estate Credit Fund, a closed-end debt interval fund that trades under ticker symbol PNDRX. You can learn more about the firm and the fund at pendercapital.com. And if you want to size up closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies in general, check out AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. Corey Johnson, welcome to The Navigator.
Thank you for having me, Chuck. Happy to be here.
Like I said, commercial real estate, one of the most talked about. I think actually I read something recently, and I know I heard from Dave Sakara at Morningstar, the chief U.S. market strategist, that commercial real estate is currently the most reviled and hated sector out there. When we talk about that market, A, different investing in debt and private credit than it is investing in properties. B, one man's downtrodden interesting sector is another guy's bargain. So give us an update on commercial real estate and specifically your take on it when it revolves around the private credit market there.
Without a doubt, I think commercial real estate has been in the news for better or for worse for the last couple quarters at least. Huge wall of maturities hitting. Seems like every day there's a new doom and gloom article that's hitting the papers. So really what we see as the opportunity set, and like you said, there is some opportunities depending on what side of the table you lie on. We are on the debt sector. We are a senior secured bridge lender, seeing an abundance of very interesting opportunities for basically getting new exposure within a marketplace of sponsors on one side that are buying at distressed, call it new valuations, coming to groups in the private credit space because, frankly, the regional bank pullback is a limited amount of liquidity that is out in the marketplace, and the private credit shops are, you know, able to pick some of this up. So really for us, it's kind of a heyday. We're looking at the most attractive risk-adjusted yields that we've seen since the financial crisis. Borrowers, again, buying at discounted valuations, looking for debt providers. And fortunately for us, that's lower loan-to-values on new pricing, you know, some higher yields is what's gone on in the interest rate world over the last couple of years. It's a very interesting time. And I think with kind of walked people through the challenges, because I think there's a lot of perceptions out there of what is happening in the real estate market, specifically the CRE space of, you know, the doom and gloom, it's all falling apart. But that really does bring a different amount of opportunity sets to groups that are positioned on the other side of it.
Something I don't want to get lost in that answer was senior secured debt. So when somebody hears about commercial real estate and they're hearing what's going on and worries about defaults and what this could mean for the banking sector and all the rest, if you're buying senior secured debt, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but that puts you at the best spot. In other words, you're at the top of the heap by focusing on senior debt. You're the first one to be paid back. So that should minimize your default risk at a time when everybody's talking about default risk in that sector being high, right?
You are 100% correct. So we are the first to get paid. We are the last to take a loss. And when we've got loan to values that are sub 60%, ultimately what it means is you've got really a 40+% equity cushion from the sponsor side before your first dollar of debt is at risk. So definitely puts us in a much more protected position on a move forward and really limits the level of default risk you have. Because you do hear there's a lot of mezzanine, a lot of preferred equity plays out in the space. And that's just ultimately kind of just, you know, rising you up within the capital stack, putting you closer to kind of where that par valuation is. So we are the last ones in that line and puts us in a nice control position should any additional pain points hit the CRE marketplace.
If there are additional pain points, if you're a senior and you're secured, you, of course, could wind up getting the property. Right now, as commercial real estate tries to sort itself out, that might not be a good thing. But how do you think commercial real estate does sort it out? I mean, as much as there's people talking doom and gloom and horrible scenarios, every community, every city, every whatever has gone through its own renaissances. You would assume that at some point this gets figured out, doesn't it?
Yes. Every city has gone through their own ups and downs. And even within, you know, a larger city, you're seeing segments of, you know, the markets with the same asset classes that are having different recoveries and, you know, different timelines related to those recoveries. You know, when the Fed came out in December and was indicating some rate cuts, I think a wave of optimism hit the real estate industry. And you had some equity sponsors who were ultimately understanding they were out of the money, you know, all of a sudden said, hey, well, wait a minute. If we have a couple of additional rate cuts, you know, we may not be fully back in the money, but we're, you know, maybe going to recoup a little bit. Obviously, you know, we saw the Fed, there was pricing into the marketplace with roughly about, you know, 8 anticipated rate cuts. You know, that's now recently down to 4. So you've had this wave of optimism. I think rate cuts will obviously help with some of the landing. If you do get, you know, more than 4, it will definitely soften the blow. But there's going to be retrading. You know, we needed some sort of correction within the industry as a whole. But you look at certain marketplaces. I mean, asset types are really, I think, more one of the main talking points in the CRE space these days. Obviously, office has got the fair share of the bad publicity, and rightfully so. But take a market like Los Angeles. You know, downtown LA is a massively depressed office environment. You go 6 miles away to Century City, and they're having some of the best matrix that you can really ask for in a CRE office market today. So very much a localized problem, localized recoveries throughout. But across the board, there is going to be levels of distress, and there's going to be opportunistic groups that are going to take advantage of this from the sponsor side of the table that have some dry powder. They're finally been able to price themselves back into the money. You've seen the bid ask on property values kind of come in significantly there. And so those guys, there's going to be some very, very well-priced trades that do take place. The flip side of that is debt still remains a very challenging sector. When you have data out there across the board that is talking about the lack of liquidity within the marketplace, you know, the lenders are going after the most qualified sponsors that they can get. Bigger balance sheets, better track records. That's who really is going to be able, in my opinion, to take the best advantage of what's kind of currently in the marketplace today. Because when you go too far down, I think the more, call it the mom and pop type trades that are taking place, there's just not as much liquidity for those groups around. So I think this is really going to be, you know, an interesting recovery as we get into it and as we start moving forward. But we really do need some level of the regional banks to come back to the table. But I do think that's going to be probably out towards the end of 2024, into early 2025, as the banks are really trying to understand what their balance sheets entail, what they're allowed to do, and what really their focus is going to be on a move forward basis.
Let's bring this back to the fund. Again, it's Pender Capital Real Estate Credit Fund. In earlier answer, you were talking about preferred equity and mezzanine financing, and there are a number of private credit funds out there, but there are not many that do what you do. So how does your fund work into someone's allocation? I mean, obviously not all private credits are created equal, but how would you hope someone would use a fund like yours in their investment portfolio?
A fund like us, and really being focused on senior secured positions and really having no kind of fund level leverage, really limited to no leverage at our vehicle. We're really more, I think, a complement to like a traditional investing portfolio. Someone looking for some higher yield fixed income that does have a nice security instrument attached to it. We're not one of those groups. I mean, I think there's a lot of distressed debt shops out there, some higher octane, you know, mezz that certain groups utilize a few turns of leverage to really manufacture the returns. That's not really kind of what our bread and butter is. Our bread and butter is really more of the slow and steady, have something that's lower volatility, but you can kind of count on, even in a time of duress, still posting positive returns, you know, in the higher single digits. And to us, that's kind of where we really like to play with our clients. They're not looking for us to swing for those fences. They just kind of want those bunt singles to slowly get around the bases. And that's what their clients are looking for. And, you know, I think we complement the higher octane funds very well, but we also complement the traditional equity bond portfolios very well. As more and more groups are looking to alternatives to fill certain buckets, you know, we're not really competing with anything on that front. We're just a complement piece.
Corey, interesting take on everything. I hope we get a chance to chat with you again on The Navigator.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate having me.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And yes, I am Chuck Jaffe. I'd love it if you check out my hour-long weekday show on your favorite podcast app or by going to moneylifeshow.com. If you want to learn more about interval funds, closed-end funds, and business development companies, be sure to check out AICAlliance.org. That's the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, Corey Johnson. He's Chief Executive Officer at Pender Capital, which runs the Pender Capital Real Estate Credit Fund, a closed-end debt interval fund trading under ticker symbol PNDRX. Get more information on the firm and the fund at pendercapital.com. The Navigator Podcast is new every Friday. Make sure you don't miss an episode by subscribing or following along on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week, and until then, happy investing, everybody.